I want to thank you for your wonderful presence. We enter your word with great expectation this morning, expecting, Lord God, the great ministry of the word and the spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts. We're fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive this word, Lord God. And therefore we recognize that we need your help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, this word will have free course, my Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and indeed our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure. Power that will heal, to follow these words wherever they are heard, released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I might do it, Father, with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, amen. In our last lesson, we're in James chapter 1. We stopped in our last lesson in verse 4, where James, the Holy Spirit, through James, tells us that we should let. That, in other words, it's something you have to do. God won't do that. You are the one who's going to let. Patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I dare say, and I've been a pastor for, by the grace of God, over 30 years. I've been a Christian for over 35. I've been around a bit. You know, I say probably this is the most, this is one of the rarest virtues in Christianity. Majority of Christians aren't patient. Now, patience doesn't just mean taking something for a long time and just sitting down there and let the thing just roughshod over you and destroy you. No. It just means consistency, ability to remain consistent in the word, in the spirit, in an attitude of believing under pressure. Most Christians don't have that. And that's why this so-called gospel of lesekese. In our language, that means quick, 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 now, now, now. You know, you see men, so-called men of God, giving all kinds of word of wisdom. Everybody's going to get their miracle in 1 week. They're going to get it in 2 weeks. God has told them, you know. And they don't even know what God is doing in the lives of those individuals. You know, many, many times, you know, this force of patience is absent. Most Christians want a quick fix. They want God to quickly do something and help them, you know. And sometimes God in his mercy actually does that so that you won't be destroyed. But sometimes when those things happen, you know, that test is going to come back. He may give you a temporary reprieve, but it's coming back. Because until you learn patience, you can never be like God. You know why? God is patient and kind. Love, which is God's character, you know, the Bible says God is love. You know, and the Bible says love is patient and kind. So we conclude that God is patient. You can't be like God if you're not patient. You can't, if you're not consistent, you know, and that thing shows up under pressure. It's when something you are expecting to happen is not happening. And how do you behave? Do you fret? Do you worry? Do you fly off the handle, using a symbolic spiritual, not symbolic, secular expression. Do you lose your temper? Do you, or get discouraged or become introverted? You know, that thing comes out in so many ways. You find people, you won't see them in church anymore. You know, or they get offended at the pastor, or offended at their husband, or offended at their wife, or offended with this person, and all kinds of, and it's all due to a lack of patience. Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. We looked at this in great detail last week. We'll consolidate on it today and move on. I like this because it's extremely amplified. Let's read together. Say, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. You know, when you're watching football, there's halftime. It's not full. You have to allow the other half. Hello? Full play. In other words, there is a time frame that is attached to patience. And if you do not allow it to work out its full play, then you will not get the benefit. Most people quit after 15 minutes. Hey, you go and play soccer. You know, thank God Eagles, God is helping them yesterday. Amen. I had to put that in. Praise the Lord. Everybody knows I like football. Okay. You play for 15 minutes and then you tell the referee you're tired. And you go. They will just declare it a no match. And they will assign the victory to the other side. Isn't that true? So it is in the spirit. You know? How full played, two, 3 days and you give up. Of course, the enemy will just run shot all over you. You have to allow it to have its full play. And do a what? I didn't hear you. A thorough work. So that. Now, there's an end point here. There's something God is trying to achieve. And he tells us here. He says, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects. I'm going to ask two rhetorical questions. They're not rhetorical. I want you to answer them. How many people even believe this? Let me see your hand. How many people even believe, before I say, you want to be like this, let me even ask. That's how the Holy Spirit said that. How many people believe that I can be, everybody open your mouth, say, I can be fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. If you believe it, put your hand up. You don't believe it, just leave your hand. You know, most people don't believe it. I've been preaching perfection for almost 30 years too, ever since I started this ministry, really. But I got better revelation and understanding, say, from the early 90s. Papa Ralph came and preached on growing to perfection in 1990. I started preaching some of these prophetic messages in 1988, 89, so I can flag it off from there. Even though I used to talk about it before, but say, brought it to the front burner. Most Christians don't believe it. I don't believe I can be fully developed, no defects. No, brother, it's when we get to heaven. But I didn't write the Bible. The Bible is very explicit. The scripture cannot be cannot be broken. And it says, this is one, but it says in so many places in the New Testament, there's another place where it says that, as he is, so are we in this world. Hello? It didn't say as he is, so are we when we get to heaven. It says, as he is, so are we where? It says, whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. The whole of John, 1 John especially, is full of perfection. How you can, it doesn't just leave you in a quandary. It tells you how to do it. Like James here. He's telling us what to do. So, if you now want to be perfect, developed, having no defects, he has told you what to do. The thing you have to do is let what? Patience have a what? Full play and do a what? No full play, no thorough work, no perfection. It's very, very, very crucial for us to see this. It is there is no such thing. I'm learning more and more every day. There is no such thing as, some people are just naturally patient. That natural patience is not the one the Bible is talking about. You know, some people are just quiet. Doesn't mean they are patient. They're all quiet, but you don't want to know what's going on inside them. Amen. You know, we mistake a lot of things. Oh, man, they're patient. Go. I'm going sorrow. Patient. Go. Who told you he's patient? You're not patient at all. You know, not the Bible patience. The Bible patience is a supernatural virtue. It's not something you inherit from your parents. Oh, man, that man is very nice. Oh, the patient go. You haven't seen him in action. And just putting the right circumstances around him, you know, and that so-called patient person will begin to spark. And not positively. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Quietness is not necessarily patience. Patience is consistency. Consistent application of the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. It is those three agents, the blood creating access by removing any blocks, the life of God, and then life of God is now transformed into power, is converted just like diesel is now converted to electricity inside the generator. The life of God in your spirit is now converted to power when you pray in tongues and groaning and all of that. It is power, that's what you really need, that now goes into the mind and goes into the soul and goes into the body, you know, and goes into the emotions. And that power now delivers patience. And then, you know, your emotions become controlled. Your will becomes strengthened. You become somebody of great determination. The scripture that was buzzing around in my heart as I was praying and preparing this morning, you know, it says that they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. They shall not be moved. That's a patient man. He's like Mount Zion. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's the same thing. He's not going to change, you know, the way he's talking. He's not going to change the way he's thinking. He's not going to fret, worry. He's like Mount Zion. You know how stable a mountain is? That's how you should become. That's the scripture. That scripture is prophetic. It says, they that trust in the Lord. I think it's Psalm 125. Yeah, there we go. Everybody say, those who trust in... Let's stay with the King James. Say, they that trust in the Lord... Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking at one of them. I trust in the Lord. 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 I want you to say it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, as you are seeing me, I trust in the Lord. Therefore, I am like Mount Zion, which incidentally means perfection. Prophetically. Hallelujah. He just said mountain. He specified it. There shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Nothing can shake me. You know, in Nigeria, there's no shaking. You know, which cannot be, but what? Abided forever. It takes time to become like that, too. But you can be. And it's the will of God for you to become like that. But it's not that will happen, that will just happen. Simply because you're born again. He says, let patience have her what? Perfect work. Thorough. Full play. You have a part to play. And that part is cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's this consistent application. And this is what most Christians don't do. In faces of pressure and difficulty, the last place they go is the Word and the Spirit. They all talk about the problem or fret or worry. And then the problem, the more you talk about a problem, the more you fret about the problem, the worse it gets. You know what? You are adding spiritual fuel to it. Instead of diminishing it by spiritual power, you increase it by frets and worry and all of these things. You know, under pressure, you go back to your source. I want to share another scripture. I mentioned this last week, but the Lord told me to amplify it today. Look at second. We saw this in. We first of all talked about Romans 12:12. I won't go back there, which says, you know, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So the Bible tells us the key how to remain patient. Patient by continuing instant in prayer. Now there are prayers at different levels. There's prayer in the understanding. There's praying in tongues. There's travail. Then there's praying with your thoughts. So even in that tribulation, your praying with your thoughts is very important. Keep your mind stayed on Him. That will keep Him in perfect peace. Yes, I'm going through an issue, but God is there. And Lord, I thank you. In your mind, Lord, have mercy. Thank you. I know you're working on this problem. I can't see the result now, but I want to thank you. You know, that thing will calm you. It will give you security. It will make sure that, you know, you don't vroom, vroom, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. You stay consistent. It takes power to do it too. You know, the power, I've said this many times, I'm going to keep repeating it. The power is not generated by the thoughts. The power is generated by the words and the prayers. But then it is applied by the thoughts, just like a steering wheel. A steering wheel, the power of the car does not come from the steering wheel. But the steering wheel now directs the car where it goes. So that power has been generated. Now direct it into your mind. Direct it into your will. Direct it into your emotions through your thoughts. So that you stay stable the way God wants you to stay under pressure. Let me tell you something, brethren. We're going to look at it in a minute. Pressure will come. And guess what? It's God who allows it. Now, that's the part most Christians don't understand. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at this. And let's start from verse 7. You know, 2 Corinthians. Sorry, chapter 12, excuse me. Not 7, it's chapter 12. Where the thorn in the flesh, you know. This is one of the cop-out scriptures. We Pentecostals always use, oh, this, you know, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. You know, it's just a devil that has been allowed by God, sent by Satan, not God, but allowed by God to come and trouble you. You know why? God wants you to develop patience. God wants you to develop patience. Unlest, I didn't hear you, I should be exalted above what? Measure through the abundance of revelation. You know, revelation causes you to, if you're not careful, makes you proud. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And God, if there was one person who was puffed up, it was Paul. You can't blame him. Well, you can't blame him. But, you know, his background, he's in the natural. I'm talking about, you know, even before he became a Christian, Paul was not like Peter and James and John. He wasn't a fisherman. Paul was an intellectual. Paul's parents were rich people. He came from a very privileged background. He was a Roman citizen, even though he was a Jew. He didn't grow up in Jerusalem and Galilee and Nazareth like all the other, you know, like even the Lord. He grew up in Tarsus, man. This guy was, yeah, he was an international, today, he's like an American, so he was an international citizen. He used to travel anywhere in the empire he liked. All these other guys couldn't do that. It wasn't like that, you know. So Paul, you know, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, concerning the law, blameless, you know, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, at Oprah Odo. No wonder God had to deal with him. I mean, deep inside, he was a good man. But, you know, sometimes some of the things we have in the natural, they prop us up. Like my wife was sharing the other day. That's why sometimes it's not good to use too many titles. My wife, for example, is a pastor, but she doesn't use the title. You know, because if you lean too much on natural, what men say and all of that, it gets to your head. So sometimes it's good to just stay cool. Praise the Lord. I was somewhere yesterday, so they were asking me, they said, what should we call you? I said, Pastor is just okay. Pastor is just okay. They wanted to call me some other things. You know, so lest I should be exalted above measure, I didn't hear you, through the abundance of revelation, Revelation has a tendency to make you want to be puffed up. But when you know God, it will not. But it can. I've taught this not too long ago. You know, there are two Greek words for knowledge. It's very interesting. That's why I love the King James. You know, I have a King James and I have what you call a King James Plus. The King James Plus has all the Greek and Hebrew words, you know, in an index. So you can go and check the exact word that was in the Hebrew or in the Greek that was translated. Now, there are two words. One is gnosis. The other is epignosis. The word here is gnosis. Sorry, the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says knowledge puffeth up, is not epignosis. It is gnosis. It's knowledge, but it's not complete knowledge. You know why? If you have complete knowledge, you won't be puffed up. Whenever you are puffed up, it's because you really don't know God as you should. So what you got is gnosis, not epignosis. The Greek word for the knowledge of the Son of God is epignosis. But the Greek word for knowledge puffeth up is gnosis. They're not the same words. So here, all right, thank you, Bimbo. Flashback to 2 Corinthians. Okay, so it says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me. I didn't hear you. It's not negative confession. Praise the Lord. You know, our brother, you know what he wants to say? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Because I don't want thorn in the flesh. You don't. Whether you want thorn in the flesh or you don't want it, thorn in the flesh is coming. You know why? There is no way you can increase in revelation without a thorn in the flesh. You know why? The Bible says that affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. The minute increased word comes, increased affliction comes. Somebody put it this way, you know, it's not too attractive, but it's the truth. New level, new devil. Every time you move to a higher level in God, another level of demons are allowed to come against you. But don't get upset. Amen. You'll overcome them. Hallelujah. Because if they're not allowed to come against you, then there is no legal case against them, and then they cannot be put in hell forever. So you are the bait that God uses to allow Satan to attack you so that God can have a legal basis to punish him forever. Exactly. Look at that scripture. We'll flash in there and flash back. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which says, no temptation. No temptation. I'm putting the Amplified. He says, for no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you. That is what? Not common to man. That is no temptation. Watch this. No temptation, I didn't hear you, or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not, watch this, adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as men can bear. Don't your neighbor say, God is fair. God is faithful. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted. Don't you never say, I trust God. He can be trusted. I didn't hear you. You know, this is a big issue with so many Christians. They don't trust God. Always thinking, you don't know what God is going to do. See this one. Hey, why did God allow this? Give more to show. Why did God allow this? You know, as if God is irresponsible. Have to trust God. I said it last week, I'm going to repeat it. If it comes, you can overcome it. Everybody say it again. Say it again. Let's say it this way. If God allowed it to come, it's because I can overcome it. God will never allow it to come if I cannot overcome it. Give the Lord a clap offering. As it, never. God is faithful. That's what he say here. He said, but God is faithful. You know, who
and can be trusted to his word, and he can be trusted not to let you. Everybody shout it. Say it again. Be tempted and tried and assayed beyond what? Your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. Give the Lord a clap offering. He is faithful. God says, if it has come, then there is enough inside you. There is enough I have taught you. There is enough knowledge inside you to resist it and overcome it. So I say, I didn't resist and overcome it. That's not because God was not faithful. It was because you were not faithful to use the word that has been given to you. You see this church here? Not only the scripture pastor, but scripture pastor in particular, and church in general, is a spiritual school. It's not an entertainment center. It's a school. Every Sunday when you come here, you're coming to take lectures, to prepare for tests that are coming the following week. It's continuous assessment. We don't just have one big exam at the end of our life. Every week, there's a new test. It is what you heard in church the week before that is going to be the material you're going to use for the tests that are coming the following week. Do you see now what the Bible says? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God is not stupid. He knows what he's talking about. So when many times some people don't come to church. NFA. That's what we used to call them when we're in secondary, when we're in university. No future ambition. They don't go for lectures, they don't attend tutorials, they don't do that. And he wants to pass. There's no way he's going to pass. Hey, you too. I'm tired. Oh, I have something in Lagos. I can't come to church. You just missed some very important. That test is still coming. Because whether you came or not, it has already been made available. Yes, so it's already been made available. You are going to be marked. You are going to be tested on what God has made available to you. Not necessarily what you have used. Now, it is your responsibility to use what was made available. What is inside the syllabus and inside the curriculum? When you go, they just finished their O levels and their A levels. You know, Cambridge and WAEC. WAEC is not going to come to your school and say, that boy is such a nice boy. So we won't set all those other things. We'll only set the ones, you know. They have already sent you a syllabus. And they sent a curriculum. And they expect your teachers to have taught you and to have prepared you. They will not take permission from your teachers on what they are going to set. But they will not set anything outside the curriculum. God will not set anything outside your curriculum. Are you listening to me? He's only going to set what is inside the curriculum. And then he expects your pastor. He says, I will give them pastors after my own heart that will feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Sadly, most pastors don't feed them with knowledge and understanding. They feed them with hype. You know what hype is? Hype. What did he say? Oh, bless you. He won't pass a test too. It's what you know. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's revelation knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the word that strengthens you and prepares you for what is coming. So when it comes, you have the knowledge of how to deal with the situation. You know what to do, and then you begin to practice and act upon it, and you overcome. God is faithful. Are you listening to me? Darling, thank you for this scripture. He will not allow you to be tempted and tried. Only a few people are talking. To be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always, ever say always, 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 always. always, 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 also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Give the Lord a super clap offering. You know our problem? We don't read the Bible. Or should I say we don't believe it? Or we don't act on it? This is a blank check. God will not. I've learned that and I'm still learning it. So it doesn't matter what I'm facing. I know two things. Number one, it cannot overcome me. Or else God will not have allowed it. Secondly, I have to now look for the way of escape. Wisdom to see, strength and ability to walk through. And that comes through watching and praying. There's no shortcut. The Bible actually says, it says, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape. The word escape is connected to watching and praying. Because it is in watching and praying you get the wisdom to see and then the strength. You know, you can have the wisdom for something and not have the strength to act on it. And that's the problem. The Christians don't watch, they don't pray. They don't keep the word inside. So when the temptation and the trial comes, the way of escape is there, but they can't even see it. Talk less of walk through it. Are you listening to me? That's why you have a great responsibility as a Christian. And so, let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Lord, thank you. It says, right. No, 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Thank you. So it says, lest I should be exalted above, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger. Notice whose messenger it is. Whose messenger is it? I like the Bible. It's not ambiguous. It tells you straight up. Now, God allowed it. What do we mean that God allowed it? We're going to read in a minute, actually. But let me just say it ahead of time, and then repetition will make it stick in your mind. What we mean by God allowed is that God did not stop it. He could have. You know why? God is all powerful and he's sovereign. And he created the waster, the devil. He could stop him. Say, why doesn't he stop him? Two, three reasons. Number one, you know, to give him a legal basis to be able to deal with the devil. Number two, he has empowered you to stop him. Nobody said amen except mommy. Nobody wants to stop the devil. They want God to stop the devil for them. And that is why they keep having problems. Everybody's waiting for God to stop the devil for them. God will not stop the devil for you. You are supposed to stop the devil for yourself through the power that God has given you. Amen. That we're going to get there in a minute. Jesus, one time he appeared to Kenneth Hagin. A true story. Back in the 50s. I had a vision. And Ken, you know, Jesus was giving him information and telling him. Suddenly a devil just came in between the two of them. And then we go, a big noise. So he couldn't hear. He could not hear what Jesus was saying anymore. Just like when you have television and there's a, you know, interference. You know, and of course, Ken Hagin asked, if it's Jesus, Jesus was, you know, our normal way of thinking, you know, the old traditional Christian. And the thing continued. King was wondering, doesn't the Lord know that this devil is there and he's stopping me from hearing what he said? Why hasn't he got rid of him? And the thing continued. And Jesus, you know what? Just kept talking as if the devil was not there. So Kenneth Hagin, after about 10 minutes, he realized that if he doesn't do something, so he said, you spirit that is interfering with me, I cast you out in Jesus' name. You know, and then the spirit just went. And just, you know, Jesus is wonderful. No reaction. He just continued talking. Then Ken Hagin said, Lord, didn't you see that devil? Why did you allow him to continue to interfere? You know what Jesus told him? He said, if you didn't do anything about it, nothing would have been done about it. And you'd have missed everything I was saying. You know, Jesus is not, the real Jesus is not the one we think we know. See, most Christians really don't know God because they don't know his character. He said, if you had done it, he said, you would never have gotten everything. Yeah, you know, religious, sanctimonious. He said, ah, Lord, I know this is a vision, I can see you, and I'm hearing you say, but if you don't show me that in the Bible, I can't believe it. Everything I've ever been told was that God can do anything. Why? He said, Jesus told him, he said, if you didn't do anything about it, I would not have been able to do anything about it. He said, show me in the Bible. Jesus smiled sweetly and said, there is nowhere in the New Testament where he says God is going to stop the devil for you. Then he began to give him scripture. He says, you cast out the devil. He says, you know, in James, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He says, nowhere where he says, I resist the devil for you. You resist the devil. You know, and gave him scriptures, many scriptures. He started to weep and cry and repent. You know, that's our problem. We try and make the Bible fit our religious pattern. No. You. Now, it's God who's going to do it through you. But it is you who has the responsibility to launch the weapon. Next verse. For this thing, I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this morning? I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Our usual prayer, Lord, stop the devil. Next verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made what? We got that word perfect again, the same one in James. Is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here is the truth. And if you don't learn this truth, you will keep going around in circles in the wilderness of your life. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. You know, without ever getting to your promised land. Most Christians are always expecting, it's God who's going to do it. It's God who's going to do it. Yes, God will do it, but he's going to do it through you. He's not going to do it independent of you. Why? Because it's legal. He gave the authority of the earth to man. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. He's going to launch that thing through your mouth. Yes, it's God who's going to do it, but he's going to do it through you. You know what God is telling us here, through Paul and through James? He's saying this. When I allow him to come, I will not allow him to come above what I have put in you and made available to you. It is now your responsibility to come to me for sufficient grace to overcome it. So instead of me to remove the devil, the messenger of Satan, what God gave Paul, what he was teaching Paul was, I don't need to remove it. All you just need is to get sufficient grace. When you have sufficient grace, you'll overcome it. And to get sufficient grace, you have to humble yourself. And it is in humbling yourself that thorough work is having its full play. So that you'll be without defect. Can you see the connection? You see, a lot of our defects is in pride. Arrogance. So God will allow the thing to come, then the power to overcome the thing, you know, is going to be given through grace. So God will not expect you to humble yourself. And come to God and ask him, open your mouth and say, God, I humble myself. I come to you, God, increase my grace. I know you are faithful. You will not allow me to be tempted above what I'm able. This thing that has come against me, I know you have allowed it. And I know you've put enough in me. Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I'm asking you for increased grace, increased humility to be able to deal with this issue. Honesty has now set in. The problem most of the time is we don't want to pray those kind of prayers. In fact, many times we try and resist the devil without submitting to God first. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But the Bible says before, it says submit yourself. So, you know, the resisting of the devil is not going to work if you haven't yet submitted yourself to God. So you first of all submit to God. And that's where all this humility comes in. And right at you, some things we said about last week. You know, turning from our wicked ways. Humbling ourselves. You know, having harmony between husband and wife. All these are the things. These are what you submit to. Submit to what the Word Bible says. Then the grace and the strength to overcome the messenger of Satan will be there. Whenever it doesn't work, the first place you should look is inside. Never going to start, oh, is this person that did this? Oh, is this one that? Oh, is this one that did this? I don't know why God did this to me. Oh, God, this. Look inward. Nothing from outside can defile except what is inside. Check your humility. Check your attitude. You see, many times, and God is doing a thorough work with this teaching. Many times, the problem isn't even an action, it's an attitude. You see, most of the time, we're looking for some terrible action that we did. In our language, that means I was not the one that killed Jesus' mother. It's a common expression amongst our people. Whenever we're facing, say, God! This is my usual. God, why have you allowed it? What have I done? How is my own sin above the sin of other people? You know what that thing is saying? God, you are unfair. God, you are unfaithful. God, why have you allowed this to come against me? I'm better than this. That's what you just said. You didn't use those words, but that's your attitude. You just told God that, God, don't you know it's me? Don't you know it's me? Me that serves you? The first person Pastor Olubi sees is me. I'm always in charge. I pay my tithe. And then you let this come to me. Ah, God. Anyway, you are God, Sha. Can I do? You are God. So, but you know what? The attitude is totally wrong. How is that one going to get grace? Never blame God. You know why? It's not because he's God. It's because it is wrong. Because God is not unfaithful. That's why it's wrong to blame God. God, show me what's going on. He said, my strength is made perfect. I'm going to close with that. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The Greek word perfect there means is allowed to run its full course. Give that to me in the Amplified. Okay. You know, I'm just going to skip the parts and just go into. He said, for my strength and power are made what? Perfect, fulfilled, and what? Completed, and show themselves what? Most effective in your weakness. The question is, why? Why? Why is it that his strength is made perfect? When you think the word perfect, use the word complete. You know? Why is his strength made complete, or allowed to have a full play, or allowed to run its full course, when you are weak? You know why? When you are weak, you are conscious of your need for grace. When you are strong, you feel you don't need God. Hello. I know none of us will ever say that, but that's how we feel. The Bible says in one of the kings, I don't know, I think it was Hezekiah or one of, you know, I can't remember which king. He says, it was Asa. He says, and when he became strong, his heart became lifted up. You know, when we are strong, my faith did this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm strong. Yes, you're strong, but you're not strong in yourself. Never forget that. You're strong in the Lord. You're strong, but it's in the Lord. The source of your strength is not you. So whenever you come, there's a beautiful thought God has given me here. We're going to go to another scripture and and being around this. When you come, as you come to the end of your strength, of the strength of God inside you, and you now begin to feel your weakness, it drives you to God. It makes you go back to lean on God and go to God and ask for, you know, when you are feeling weak, it's not too difficult to be humble. Hello? When you are feeling weak, you can now go and fly on your face and say, God, please help me. I don't want to use the word desperation, you know, but the type of urgency is a better word. You know, the type of urgency with which you ask for mercy is different when you are weak than when you are strong. Isn't it? Isn't it? Why is honesty such a difficult thing? Isn't it? When you are weak, you ask for help and mercy much more urgently than you do when you are strong. Why? You need the same strength when you are strong. God showed me something. It's a beautiful, beautiful truth. And when you understand this, you will begin to appreciate what is happening, because everything that's happened to us is in cycles. The other day I spoke about, why is it that God told us four times a day, when you wake up, when you're walking by the way, I said it's because it's a power system. And the power system, when you release power, spiritual power, into the air, after a while that power goes down because it's being used up. That's why you have to do it again. And that's why you have to do it again. And that's why you have to do it again. So you keep, what we call, you know, a booster station. So now, spiritually, this is what is happening. When you understand that this is a power system, God gives you power. You go to God, pray like scriptures, fire, confess my sin, just let me have life. You have power, you're feeling strong. You pray in tongues, bam, devil, bam, 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 bam. And everything is working, you know, but power is going out. Power is going out. The power level begins to drop. And it drops. And it drops. You're involved in everyday life activity. There's suddenly a trial and a difficulty from nowhere. Just comes. Bang! It hits you at a time when the power level is low. Ah! What do you do? See, then you are you see, when the power level is low, you are now conscious of your need for God. Then you now, what you should do is go back to God. To what? It's a beautiful scripture. Renew your strength. You see, because the strength is not yours, it's God's. So every time you use it, after a while, you have to go back and renew it. So between the time of it being used up and it being renewed, you feel weak. It is that place of weakness that drives you back to God. That's why I said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It comes through cycles. All of us go through it. The cycles of weakness. And you should be happy about it. That's why I said, I therefore rejoice in my infirmity, because it keeps me on my toes. It constantly reminds me that my power is not my own. My strength is not my own. My strength comes from God. Hallelujah. So two things it helps me to do. It keeps me constantly humble, because I have to constantly, when I say constant, I'm saying regularly, you know, go to God in humility to ask for mercy and grace to get a new strength to deal with the new issue that is at hand. When I finish with that one, another one is coming. When I finish with that one, another one is coming. You know? And that's why it's from strength to strength. From faith to faith. And from glory to glory. Hallelujah! Now, look at this scripture. Look at it. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We're so used to this scripture. But what I've just taught you and preached to you is the reality of the scripture. But they that what? Let me paraphrase this. But they that go to church. But they that pay their tithe. But they that sing in the choir. But they that get excited and shout when they get to church. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But they that wear scarf, and they that wear not scarf. Hello. I'm being silly, but I did deliberately. We think that these are the things that make God renew our strength. No. 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 They that wait upon the Lord. That's the condition. I'm going to explain that in a minute. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew. It means the strength had finished. The word renew means that they had reached a place where their strength level had gone down. That is why it has to be what? Renewed. This Christianity is a constant cycle of renewal of strength. You know why? We are not God. My strength is not my own. The strength I'm using this morning now is going to go down. That's why when I finish this sermon, you see me, I don't socialize too much. Not because I'm not nice, so I'm nice. And I do socialize, don't misunderstand. I go upstairs, immediately after, I go and pray. I learned it from Jesus. Jesus, miracle every day, he'll go up. I just go and tune in a little bit. I need to renew that strength. The worst thing you can do is think that you are on your own. Like somebody said, then you are really on your own. I need to renew my strength. That is why in the evening now, we'll all come here, me and the pastor will come and pray. I renew the strength for this week. This week's strength has gone. I have to renew strength now for the coming week. This thing works. It's a cycle. It works. Listen to me. It works on a daily basis. It works on a weekly basis. It works on an hourly basis. In our Christian walk, the strength is always going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's you, it comes in, you're strong. Then it goes down. Then I need to go back to God. You know what? It keeps me constantly humble. Because I recognize, you see, that weakness, that interval of weakness between one depletion of strength and a new renewal of strength. That interval of weakness is what Paul is talking about here. His strength is made perfect. It is that always keeps me on my toes and keeps me humble before God. When I think I'm always strong, after a while I start thinking that this is me and God, we have the strength together. And like Moses said, shall we now come and give you water? Hey! God said, you speak unadvisedly with your lips. You will not enter the promised land. It was God who was doing it. It was through Moses, but it was God who was doing it. And Moses, just cross the line. Don't cross that line. Yes, you're my servant and I'm doing great things through you. But never forget, it is not you alone. It is me through you. So stay humble before me. Is it clear? They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall what? And not be. And they shall walk and not. You know why they don't get weary? And why they don't faint? They're constantly renewing their strength. Give the Lord a clap offering. They're constantly. It's not as if the strength, it's not as if they don't feel weak. Once they start feeling weak, and once they start feeling weary, they go back to God and renew the strength. So that then they will then run and not be weary, and then they will walk and they will not faint. Is it clear? Is it clear? I have to talk about this. This and one scripture and I close. Mount up with wings as eagles. Why did he use that? Why did he use that? The Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood. Why did God use the illustration of an eagle? I read this many years ago from Bill Britton. Eagle Saints Arise. I can never forget that book. Honey, remember the book? And he described this. Bill Britton. The eagle is not like other birds. You see, the altitude, I don't know what altitude is. It means the height above the earth. The altitude at which eagles fly, other birds can't fly at them. How many people know that chickens are birds? How many people know? They're birds. How many people know chickens can fly? How many of you see a chicken fly? You know, you run after a chicken, if it runs, it will rise above the earth, it will fly, and then it will come down again. How many people have seen a chicken flying in the sky? But it can't fly. It can't fly. But it has not trained itself, if I can use that expression, you know, to the point where it can't fly. It doesn't fly like an eagle. So, revelation knowledge is flowing. Now, watch this. You know all these other small birds? You see, they are small. They're not big like chickens. That's why you don't eat them. That's why you eat chickens. Because chicken has a lot of flesh. It is that weight that does not cause it to be able to fly much. That's why we feed them and, you know, make them fat. Then they can't fly. But the other smaller birds, you know, like robins and, you know, all these other smaller birds, you know, if you kill them, there's nothing to eat there. So, and that's why it can fly. But not so the eagle. The eagle is like the chicken. It's even more bigger than the chicken. Yet it can fly. Why? What is the secret of the eagle? If you learn this thing, you become an eagle saint today. You know what the eagle does? It doesn't fly its own power. It waits for the wind. The eagle, there is a level to which it can fly. It goes to a mountain. It can fly up to the mountain. But when the eagle flies, it flies far above mountains. But it can't, by its own power, it cannot fly above mountains. So it flies to where its own power can take it. Then it perches. And then he waits for the wind. When the wind starts to blow, all the eagle does is that he just moves, starts flying, and then just lifts his wings. And it is the power of the wind that takes the eagle up. That's why it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. But if it's trying to use own power, it can. Eagles, some eagles are so, they can fly so fast, high, they can fly the same way as aeroplanes. Of course, not jets. But, you know, ordinary like Cessnas, small planes, small propeller planes, you know, who do 10,000, 15,000 feet. Eagles get there. Eagles get there. By the power of the wind, it will raise them and it will cause the wind. The wind will not carry them. The same thing in the spirit. There you cannot get to certain levels in the spirit by your own power. You need to wait upon the Lord. Why are you running? Why are you weary? Why are you weak? You're not waiting upon the Lord. Ah, Pastor, I'm waiting upon the Lord. Somebody's lying here. Either you or the Bible. I choose you. The Bible doesn't lie. You know your problem? You really don't know what wait upon the Lord means. That's why I said all those silly things. You know, shouting and hyping is not waiting on the Lord. Even pay your tithes, not waiting upon the Lord, is one of the things to do to, you know, have an open heaven and get financial prosperity. But it's not waiting on the Lord. What is waiting? I like that word, wait. What is waiting? How, let's say it this way. How do I wait upon the Lord? The Bible does not leave us in darkness. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 34. And trust me, this is my last scripture. am I helping anybody here? Yes, you know, it's good. You know, it's a privilege to be hearing the word of God. That's why, you know, Jesus would preach and preach and preach. And Paul too. All good preachers who have revelation knowledge, they never preach short. I'm following Jesus and Paul. All of Paul's letters always had three finalists. Finally, brethren.
Finally, brethren. When he wrote Hebrews, he says, suffer ye this short word of exhortation. The man wrote 13 chapters. So don't blame me. Are you listening to me? Now, blessed is the man that heareth me. Now, stop. Who's me? Yeah, but in this context of Proverbs 8, wisdom of God. Keep it in this context. He's talking about spending time in the Word. That's how you wait. Life scriptures, reading the Bible, praying in the Spirit, praying, you know, that's how you wait. That's how you wait. He said, blessed is he that the man that heareth me, watching what? So how often do I watch? How often do I wait on the Lord daily? That's why you need to get up early in the morning. That's the difference between the eagle saint and the chicken saint. The chicken saint is fat in the flesh and does not wait upon the Lord. So the power to carry him is not there. So he's earthbound and carnal. The eagle saint, on the other hand, waits on the Lord. He gets into the Word. And he fills his heart with life and with power. And he begins slowly first, praying in the Spirit. And as he begins to do that, because he's waiting upon the wind of the Spirit will now come behind him. And then he will carry him. Then he will reach altitudes that the chicken has never seen and will never see. So when the eagle saint is talking, the chicken saint will say, that's heresy. I can't see that. Of course you can't see it. I'm an eagle. I can see far off. You can only see what's on the ground near you. That's different between you and them. It's the truth. Watching daily at my gates, waiting. Shout it. Shout it again. Shout it again. Shout it again. At the posts of my doors. So how do we wait on the Lord? We wait on the Lord in the Word and the Spirit. Fasting is also part of it. Weekly fasting. That's why you take time. You see, seek my face. You see, seek my face means give me attention. Give me attention. Shut the world out. Shut activity out. Give me full attention. Give attention to the Word. Give attention to the Spirit. Have my Word in your heart that you're waiting. Then as you're doing that, that's why all of us who pray, you know, and I've made a habit of praying, you will know this. Anytime you start praying, initially it's a little bit wobbly. How many people know that? You understand? It's like, you know, the thing is not flowing. But by the time you spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, all of a sudden, there's a power that just comes. That's the wind. Because you are waiting upon the Lord. And then he takes you up to a high altitude. Is it clear? So it is they that wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength. It's not that strength doesn't finish. It finishes. They are human, like just like you. They renew their strength. When he finishes, they get a new one. When he finishes, they get a new one. So they run and they are not weary and they walk and not faint. Let's talk to God.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing.
Talk to God.
For you. Hide me in your love. Hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more.
one hand on your heart. Raise the other one to God. God is looking for eagle saints. There are too many chicken saints around, weighed down by the flesh. They don't wait on the Lord, so they don't get the power of the wind of the Holy Ghost to rise above the earth, the flesh. Talk to God this morning. And we're going to all pray in a minute together in the spirit. But I want you as an individual, say, God, make me an eagle saint. If you're not an eagle saint already, and if you are, say, God, give me more strength. I understand, Lord, why you allow the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I understand. I'm not going to complain. And I know why you have not taken it away. Because your grace is sufficient. You will not allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to bear. So if it's come, I can overcome it. And I'm coming. I humble myself. I'm asking for grace. Increased grace. To deal with this challenge. If it has come, I can overcome it. You have allowed it. You didn't stop it. You have allowed it because you know there's enough in me to be able to overcome it. And I humble myself under your mighty hand. And I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking for your grace. I'm waiting on you to renew my strength to overcome this challenge. Talk to God. Take over.
Take over.
Come breathe in me.
Come breathe in me. And I will rise on eagle's wing.
Raise that hand. Put the other hand on your heart. Say, Father. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood, and so clean with the blood, and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come this morning, reminding me that you're a faithful God. Faithful. You will not allow me to be tempted above what I have. The endurance and the power and the strength to resist and overcome. I know you're faithful. I settle this. I settle this now in my heart. But I understand that for me to overcome, I need your grace. You have said your grace indeed is sufficient. And I believe your word. So now I humble myself. I deliberately, knowingly, consciously, willingly humble myself before you, and I ask you for grace, insufficient measure, to deal with the challenges, the temptations, the trials that I am currently facing and that I will yet face in the days ahead. For I understand that so long as I'm in this world, I'm going to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. And I continually need to renew my strength in you so that I will run, I will not be weary, I will walk, and I will not faint. So now I come to renew my strength before you afresh. Breathe in me, all my life take over. Strengthen me both in the inner man and in the outer man, that I will be able to stand in this trial, in this temptation, in these difficulties that have come. And I know that by your mercy and your grace, which indeed is sufficient, I will overcome. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Lambrica tofresh, L'ombre que tout le monde tout friche, rome tout le monde tout frido frishingaro. L'ombre que tout friche, souffre l'ombragas, l'ombre que touche que rique tout frini, romangaras, zifri de la meras, jiki tout frinis, limbri de la maros, jiki tout frinis, lingar de l'es, jiki tout frinis. Zofri de le mengaras, jekitofres, lembrdolos, nikatores, neranas. Your thoughts, because at the end of the day, this thing is an attitude thing. That's the problem God has with us, is the heart. Before you start blasting tongues, or you start, you know, even live scriptures and everything, make sure there is a heart connect. Doesn't take a few, doesn't take long. Doesn't sound that I have to wait for 10 minutes. No. Shh. God, I humble myself. Lord, have mercy. Trusting you for your mercy. Let that attitude of humility precede your praying. I know we say it every day, you know, I humble myself, but you maybe just say it mechanically. The heart is not connected. It's not enough to say the words. Say, these people draw near to me with their words. You can say all the right words and have the wrong heart. We know that from experience. Make sure there is a heart connect. As you're saying those words, mean it in your heart. I humble myself. I submit to the will of God. And when I don't feel like it, Father, I need you. I need you to renew my strength now. Please, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Always connect. Once you start getting into, ask yourself, am I connected? It's like a faulty electrical switch plug. You know, it's inside, but something is wrong with the connection, so that it's not actually making contact and current is not flowing. It happens all the time, even in the natural. So you have to bring an engineer or, you know, a technician, and they take the thing and say, oh God, this is the screw. You know, then to tighten the screw down properly, then plug it back in. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Sometimes the thing has gotten loose. Make sure, this thing I'm telling you, the Lord said I should tell you, make sure you connect your heart. Man, I don't pray mechanically. These scriptures, I've been praying them for years. I don't pray mechanically. My heart is always in what I'm doing. And if there's not a heart connect, I stop. And I go back to God and I say, Lord, you know, if I need to apologize, you know, God is a person. He's not an engine. He's not a formula. He works by principles. What we call a formula is just a principle. He works by principles, but he's a person. So the first thing, I make sure that there is a good connect between me and the person. So Holy Spirit, please come and help me. Oh Lord, oh, I'm sorry about that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, I correct that. You know, Lord, help me. Help me. You know? Then when everything is okay, then I start praying. You have to first of all submit to God before you can effectively resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if you haven't submitted to God. Make sure your heart is in connection with your mouth. Don't let your mouth just be talking, whether it's in understanding or in tongues. When the heart is not connected, you're wasting your time. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord a super clap offering.